Sin y croce este en el mito es nuestro libro nuestro. No ni pante fe de espíritu santo. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, today is the Feast of the Annunciation. And this is when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady to tell her that she was to be the Mother of God. Well, perhaps I put it a bit too strongly. God never imposes his will on us. He has given us free will, and we can say that this gift of free will is sacred. So, rather than telling Our Lady that she was to be the Mother of God, he asked Our Lady if she was willing to accept his proposal. Now, if angels could sigh, the Archangel Gabriel would have heaved a mighty sigh of relief when Our Lady said, Ecce Ancilla Domini, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Now she wasn't addressing Gabriel, you'll notice, saying she was the handmaid of the Gabriel, but the handmaid of the Lord. Nevertheless, having been given the greatest mission that any angel had ever been given, he had succeeded perfectly. But of course, this was not really his success. And it wasn't even Our Lady's success either. It was God's success. The greatest act, if we dare to say this, of the Blessed Trinity. Namely, in the incarnation of the Son of God. Now I would venture to say that on this feast day, which is called the Annunciation, 9 times out of 10, the meditation is about Our Lady. However, I propose, at least for the time being, to concentrate on the aspect concerning God Himself, the mystery of the Incarnation. Now you can ask Our Lady herself, and she would agree with me, I'm sure. Now the fact of God deciding to unite himself irrevocably to our poor human nature far outweighs her merit, the merit of Our Lady, in her acquiescence to God's will. Even though without it the Incarnation could not have taken place. Now on Christmas Day 1972, our beloved Father said, on becoming incarnate, coming to live amongst us, he is really kind of quoting from Chapter 1 of St. John's Gospel, verse 14. He has demonstrated that we are not in life in order to seek a temporal happiness which is passing. We are here to attain eternal beatitude, following in his footsteps. And we can only achieve this learning from him. Now, what has our Father said with this? Well, that we have to set about asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, because it is something really beyond our understanding. Now, the other day I started to reread Frank Sheed's book called Theology for Beginners. And at the beginning of this book, he draws our attention to the nature of God, which we can read in the first page of any penny catechism, is that God is a spirit. And he devotes probably two or three pages about God being a spirit. And then he comes to the conclusion, there's no definition of what spirit is. And he tells us, in fact, that we don't know anything about God, because we don't know what spirit is. Now, from then on, he's able to tell us that is why God became man. He became something material to overcome this obstacle, that we only know things through our senses. We can only know material things. Now, at this point, I hope you will forgive me for inserting here a smattering of philosophy. Because if Frank Sheed had written a more philosophical book, he would have done the same as me. Now, in Plato, we learn that God has five attributes, which are, of course, purely spiritual. But they do give us an inroad into knowing God. And what are they? They are truth, goodness, res, that means being real, and then being, and the one. Now, if we try to think about all five, we can grasp something about this spirit, which is God, because we can understand a little bit about truth and about goodness and about reality. So we realize, for instance, that if we are good, if I'm a good boy, I am with God in some way. That if I know the truth, that has grasped something of God, because he's truth itself. That if I can understand that God is res, a thing, that is quite real, and I know that he's there somehow, then that he is being, and is the basis and source of all that is, all that has being. And then finally, that he is one, totally, completely unique. Now, from all this, we can realize that when we share in any way, in any one of these attributes, we are in fact sharing in God, God's being. We are at one with God. And this is the purpose of our own being, of our own existence, to be one thing with God. However, God, realizing that very few people have read what Plato said, and even fewer understand what he was talking about, God has decided to come down to our level. And by becoming man, he made it possible for us to know him in the way that we know everything else in this world, through our senses. Now, our Father illustrates this beautifully in his homily, Human Virtues, which we can find in Friends of God. So he says, remember how our Lord comes into the world, not just like every other human being. I'm sorry, I misread that. Our Lord comes into the world just like every other human being, and he spends his childhood and his adolescence in a village in Palestine, where he's no different from his fellow villagers. And then, from time to time, in his public life, we hear echoes of his everyday existence in Nazareth, and he speaks to us about work, and is concerned to see that his disciples rest. And he makes a point of meeting people of every sort and never refuses to talk to anyone. So to his followers, he expressly indicates that they should not hinder children from coming to him. And then, recalling perhaps memories of his own childhood, he uses the example of children playing in the marketplace. So that's the end of the quotation. And from this we learn that just as we can unite ourselves with God by embracing the truth, or by loving, or by being good, so by being even just simple and natural and humble, like Jesus in his hidden life, we become like God and also reach union with God by being industrious and hardworking, and then in our life taking care of little things and loving little children. Now, another thing we need to bear in mind when reflecting on the incarnation is that it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is another manifestation of God's love for us, as was the whole work of creation. Now, to keep this in mind, there's no better way than to turn to Our Lady once more. For she is spouse of God the Holy Spirit. Now we started off this meditation calling to mind how Our Lady responded positively to God's proposal that she should become the Mother of God. Now, in the encyclical October Mense, Pope Leo XIII, in 1891, says, the ways of divine are identified with religion. The eternal Son of God, about to take upon himself our nature for the saving and ennobling of man, and about to consummate thus a mystical union between himself and all mankind, did not accomplish his design without obtaining the free consent of her who was to become his mother. She was the representative of all mankind, according to the illustrious and learned opinion of St. Thomas, who says that the Annunciation was effected with the consent of the Virgin, standing in the place of humanity. That's a quotation from the third part, question 30, article 1. And then the Pope continues, with equal truth may it also be affirmed that by the will of God, Mary is the intermediary through whom is distributed unto us the immense treasure of God's mercies. For grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's St. John chapter 1, verse 17 this time. Thus, as no man goes to the Father but by the Son, so no one goes to Christ except through his mother. Now we may recall how in the Gaudium et Spes document, which is the pastoral constitution of God in the world of today, number 22, it says, for the Son of God, by his incarnation, did in a fashion unite himself with every man. Now this puts us in mind of that number 495 of the way, where it says, we go to Jesus and we return to him through Mary. So clearly, Our Lady was inspired by hearing the Archangel Gabriel mention how it would be the Holy Spirit would come upon her. And so in a certain sense, that prompted her to give her consent. And so then when once Our Lady conceived that she had God dwelling within her, the kingdom of God is within you, says the Lord. And so she became aware of God incarnate dwelling within her. her soul. So this is how God incarnate, through grace, is also dwelling within our soul. So, let me read now an anonymous writer who tells us, turn yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord and let this sad world go by, and then your soul will find rest. Learn to make light of the outward things and yield yourself to interior things, and you will see the kingdom of God coming within you. For the kingdom of God is a peace and a joy of the Holy Spirit, which is not given to people who live for the world. So Christ will come to you, showing you his comfort, if you prepare a worthy dwelling place for him within yourself. And there he finds his delight. Now finally we can end our meditation with a prayer composed by St. Alphonsus of Ligorio. As we know in the Glories of Mary, St. Alphonsus says so many beautiful things to the Mother of God. And here is a kind of representative. And he says, if you, saying to Our Lady, who are so immensely good, do good to all, even those who do not know you and do not honour you, how much more should we hope in your benignity? We who wish to honour you and love you, who trust in your aid. O Mary, although we are sinners, you can save us, because God has enriched you with mercy and power that surpasses all our indignity. O most sweet Mother, to you I give my soul, that you may purify it, sanctify it and consecrate it wholly to Jesus. I think I may have mentioned in other meditations how when once Our Lady realized the significance of the Incarnation, that our Lord was now dwelling inside her, Our Lady began at once to converse with him. And this is what you and I can do, my brothers and sisters. on this feast of the Incarnation, to start straight away talking to Jesus, as Mary did. She was aware that Jesus, she'd been told to give him that name, so she knew his name and could address him. She could say to him, "Jesus, dwelling within me, in my womb, you must be very lonely in all that darkness within. But Jesus, don't worry, because very soon you will be born into this world that you have created, this beautiful world that I see all around me. But very soon you too will see it too. But what I've got to do now, Jesus, is go to my cousin Elizabeth, because the archangel has told me that she is with child, and has already 6 months have gone by. And Jesus, you and I know that Elizabeth is a very old lady. She's conceived in a marvellous way, obviously through your power, to become a mother. So it's quite clear that I've got to go off into the hill country as quickly as possible. And since you are within me, we'll be going together. And with you within me, we can do all that is necessary to look after our cousin Elizabeth. So I've just got to get a few things ready. And so then we can go together. To console her, to give her strength, and to do practical things for her, to get water from the well, and to make it possible to be able to give birth to the son who will be born of her. So now we'll be going, Jesus, to Elizabeth. But in the meanwhile, I will talk to you so that you will not feel abandoned. I know that you have come on earth because it says in the Old Testament, "My delight are to be with the children of men." So I'm determined, Jesus, that you will find it delightful to be with me, and then also to be with Joseph, my husband, who is going to be close to me and to you. So between us, we'll give you the consolation and the warmth and the happiness to be with the children of men. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.